This is Not Often Heard with Gary Taylor and Mark Stockley.
Hello and welcome to Not Often Heard, the podcast. This is Mellopod number 6. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
Hello, Alex. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
So this is where we go a little bit more in depth than we ever could on our Not Often Heard radio shows, which happen midday, retron air, Sundays. Just a quick plug in there.
Yeah, because we can never get everything in that we want to and talk about all the things that we want to and all the amazing music that we want to play.
We could talk for days about everything that we watched last night.
Absolutely. So tonight we're going to be talking about Melodifestivalen and the grand finale.
Woo!
So this is the climax to 6 weeks of competition for Sweden to select their song for Eurovision. And it's always a massive event, isn't it?
It's proper big. It's like a proper full-on X Factor competition, isn't it? Mm. Whittle it down from 28 songs down to 12 in the final, and then whittle it down to just one based on jury votes and a televote, just like Eurovision itself. That's what they call it, mini Eurovision, don't they?
It is. It is a mini Eurovision. So it's a very, very slick show, I feel. It's all done and dusted in 2 hours, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, we were saying this last night, weren't we? Eurovision could learn a lot from Melfest about running things. It went very smoothly.
Incredibly. I mean, I'm amazed at how good the Swedish production team is at doing this show.
Like, all 12 songs were done within about 45 to 50 minutes.
It was excellent. So we start off with an introductory act from the presenters as a way of bringing on all the performers.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, I didn't see all of this because I was running back and forth to the kitchen.
Yeah, I think I was the only one. I think out of five of us, I was probably the only one in the house who watched the full thing and got the full spectacle of it. Because there was fans and like, and dresses and ruffles and all kinds of stuff.
Well, they were using
it was
the,
a lot.
They were using that what I call the Fantasia music.
Yeah,
which is
it's
the
a piece
official
called,
name is
Hall of the Mountain King. It's the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's that one.
So quite Nordic.
Yes. Yeah.
In that sense. So all the acts get introduced, and it is not long before we are bang straight in.
Yeah, like super quick.
And our first act of the night is Victor Krona, or is it Krona?
I think they said Krona, I
Krona.
Think.
Krona. So is that the currency?
Yes, it is. And we've been calling him Krone for last year.
Victor Krone.
So obviously no stranger to the Eurovision stage after doing it for Estonia last year, I believe.
Yeah.
Come back to Sweden this year. Now, do we think he put in a better performance this time?
I wouldn't necessarily.
I don't know, because I don't remember what his performance was like last year.
It was okay. The song last year was quite good, I thought. Storm, it was called, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I thought the song was absolutely fine. A nice little bit of staging.
Yeah.
Catchy enough. Is it the right song to open up the show with, though?
Mm.
Not entirely sure.
No, and
well, I mean, they had to open up with something. So.
Yeah.
True. It's an okay. It's a kind of slightly more up-tempo, but perhaps not quite the big bang opening we have come to expect.
Yeah, we kind of want something, when you're in something like that, you want something that's going to hype everyone up early on, so that you want something near the end and near the beginning that's going to hype people up, so there's always that sort of state of excitement, keeping the audience interested.
You want them on their feet and dancing, essentially, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we did criticise him slightly on his semi-performance because we noticed a few bum notes towards the end and he was pulling out his earpiece.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he did that again, didn't he?
He did last night. I think he's just showing off, personally.
So you don't think it was deliberate? It wasn't a case of, I can't hear the track properly,
no,
it's annoying
me. I think it was just saying, look at me, I can hit these notes, I don't need any backing track, I don't need an earpiece for this. My voice is too good. I can do this without any help.
My thing about it was, for me, for Eurovision, I think it's at its best when the camp factor is amped up to 11. So, you know, people like Conchita Wurst and Verka and all that kind of campness. Is what I really love about Eurovision is the big kind of theatric. And for me, I felt this one, it was a bit basic. When you compare it to, like, some of the ones that have done really well or won, you know, it was...
Yeah, but with...
Think about, like, think about Australia last year in Eurovision. They had... The staging for that was... Remained with, they had all the poles and stuff, and they were...
That was... It was
that
amazing.
Was what I loved about Eurovision.
It was a spectacle, but ultimately it didn't win them.
No.
Because I think you've now got the juries in play. I know we're sidetracking slightly.
Yeah.
but with the juries in play, they are told, focus on the song.
Not the staging.
Not necessarily the staging. You're judging the song. The televote can be relied to, you know, kind of judge on the staging almost, I think.
But I don't know. I'd feel like the staging is as much a part of it as...
I think for the audience at home, for sure, it definitely
it
is.
It's a television show at the end of the day, so you need to put on a good performance.
Yeah, if we were going to base it entirely on a song, we could just do things like Melfest and Eurovision over the radio.
True. So that was song number one. Song number two was Paul Ray with Talking in My Sleep, wasn't it? We always struggle to talk about this one. Because I don't think any of us can get really enthusiastic about
it. It's a touch beige.
It felt very sort of, I want to say kind of Sam Smithy.
Yeah. I think it's quite current and modern.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he does a good job of performing it. And there's nothing wrong, certainly nothing wrong with his vocals or anything like that. I think a little bit of what Alex is saying, there isn't much spectacle there. It's a perfectly acceptable ballady, mid-tempo-y kind of thing. I don't dislike it, far from it, but I can't get enthused about it.
You get a bit of camera trickery in there.
Yeah.
Almost like a 3D type blue and red.
Yeah.
Because shadow is he's moving across at times. So he's got his gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you said, competently performed, but just purely from a personal musical taste point of view, it's not really the thing I would listen to.
No.
So I find it difficult to be enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
However, we are looking at this shot now. Everybody has got their mobile phones out and the lights on.
That was a good little bit of staging. Like when you see that in concerts and stuff like all the time, and it's really effective bit of
absolutely.
Bit of
it sells the emotion.
I think a couple of other acts in Melfest did that as well, as we'll see when we look into it, who did kind of audience participation as part of their act. So it'll be interesting to compare and see who
who took advantage of that. Next up, song number three was The Mamas.
Right, now I have to go back on hypocrisize myself a little bit with this, because this one didn't have that camp staging, but it's still one of my favourites because their vocals were just
flawless.
Yeah. Like it was a flawless performance. You know, you get a group up there singing gospel, you know, it's always going to be a favourite.
I think they were on point, weren't they? Vocally,
yep.
Choreographically?
Yeah.
That's a word. Yeah. We'll make it a word.
Now, of course, obviously, we were saying this, they partially represented Sweden last year, didn't they? Because they were the backup singers for Is It Too Late for Love last year.
Yep.
So, very full circle moment.
Yes.
Kind of seeing them come back. Step into the spotlight.
Yeah. And we did talk about how they were the closing act last year when they performed on the reprise for the winning with John Lundvik, and they were the very first act that were out of the gate this year.
Yeah, the very first from stage. Semi-1, weren't they?
Yeah, so I love that.
I thought they were really good. Like, the vocals were good. The choreography was, they didn't miss the mark. It was like Dreamgirls. It was like, where your Dreamgirls? It was very that.
Exactly. It's not OTT. You'd not got dancers bouncing all around them. It is them selling the song with a few pointed moves. And the traditional, when you're hitting the bridge, throw the mic stands to the side and stride up to the front of the stage and get the audience whipped.
And they did. They did it well.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. And we will talk about the winners later, but they were my personal favourites.
Yeah, I think we had quite a mix of favourites, but I think we all agreed on at least...
This was a good one.
This was a good one. We all agreed this was a good one.
But I don't think any of us thought it was going to be a winner.
No.
Yeah.
We were all... Because looking at all the polls throughout the week, based on the exit polls, we were looking at Anis. Based on streaming, Anis was up there, Dotter was up there, Hannah was up there as well.
Yes.
So we'll talk more about the voting.
Yes, we'll talk more about the results.
But in terms of the song itself, I love that song.
Yes.
And I will be absolutely be rooting for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In Rotterdam on that, on the night. Okay, song number four is Mohombi with Winners.
Which I felt was a bit overconfident in himself, naming a song Winners in the finale.
Could be. I think the most interesting thing for me about this, yes, it's the song has grown on me.
Yeah.
Number one. But also, this one was probably the first one where I noticed they'd changed the staging. It was noticeably different from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about him having these big pillars of light, these big chunks surrounding him. On his semi-performance, that was a much tighter circle, wasn't it? It was smaller, it was tightly wound. So he actually had a very confined space, it felt like, in which to perform.
He was almost encircled by them, wasn't he?
Yeah.
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 And he had no backing dancers at all. It was just him in this very tight circle.
Yeah.
And so we've seen a substantial change here.
Do you think that, I was about to say, do you think the fact that he's gone from kind of that circle thing to kind of it being like kind of that open set is almost like he's kind of him metaphorically unleashing himself for the finale.
It could be, or it could be him looking at what his competition is in the finale and thought, you know what, my staging needs something. It's not quite working, or I need to up my game. I want to do something different. I don't know. It may even be a purely practical thing in the sense that the venue where the semi took place did not have quite the stage area.
Yeah.
For him to play with.
They were all regional arenas, weren't they?
Yeah. Don't quote me on that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure because I thought the staging was fairly generic and it's just shipped from city to city.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't really change the size a great deal. But I think it works.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like he's penned in an enclosure.
No.
Yeah.
His backing dancers do not distract too much, I don't think. I think they do help him lift the song.
Yeah.
On that, he put on a really good performance, actually.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. But again, I just felt I couldn't see it winning.
Yeah.
Even though I knew that the others that were favourites, I couldn't see that one winning.
Yeah. True.
Let's move on to song number five, which is Hannah Firm and Brave.
Oh, Hannah.
Now, this is your favourite, isn't it?
It is. This is my favourite. I think got a really good hook in the bridge going up to the chorus. I really like the bit in the chorus where I don't know if it's her or backing singer, they go brave. Ooh, ooh. Just nice little bit of hooks. The one thing I was concerned about was vocally. I thought in the semi she was straining her voice a little bit, but right. I didn't think that was an issue last night.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm surprised it didn't do better than what it did.
Yeah.
It was competent. It came, you know, it performed competently in the jury and televote, but didn't really wow anybody, I don't think,
no,
did it?
And she had perhaps, there was high expectations after she came second last year in the
right,
duet.
Yeah.
So I think even before her song was known, people just had high expectations based on last year. And we said it before, it's a bit Jessica Moreboy with the staging.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, it wasn't my favourite, but I was looking at it and thinking, you know, this is someone who knows how to perform. Like, she was whipping the hair, she had the dress with the train, she was like flinging it all over the place, she was strutting through that stage. Like, this girl like knew how to perform.
Yeah.
And that was what she could have come out and she could have sold anything that they'd given her.
It was a great kind of empowering anthem.
Yeah. I think I agree. It was empowering.
Good song. Song number six is probably one of the few songs that I struggle to get behind. This is Mendes featuring Alvaro Estrella with Vamos Amigos. Or Amigos. For me, I've said it before, generic Latin party tune.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's one of the ones that kind of... It sells, you know. We saw it with Spain's entry last year. Not necessarily the most popular one from Eurovision last year, but because the beat is so...
The beat is very easily identifiable, isn't
it? Identifiable.
That reggaeton beat.
Yeah.
It's infectious. It's...
Yeah, I mean, certainly the biggest I think one of the biggest shows, as in performances, in terms of we've got pyros at the front.
Yeah.
We have got a multi-layer set.
Yeah.
We look like a little bar almost with some steps going up the side.
It's almost like a Muse video on stage.
Yeah. Mm. We also had, again, using the audience as part of the act, because you'll see it near the end. They did all the thing with the, like, the red bandanas.
Oh, yes.
They added in, so that was, again...
I think what I would say about... Mendez and Vamos Amigos, it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's not probably the best song. It's certainly logically not the one that you would, if you were really certain that you were going to win, it's not the one you'd probably put forward. But they were all having fun. I think the audience were all having fun. I enjoyed watching it. And afterwards, I was humming it and singing it along. I think it's quite catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can understand why people would think, well, generic Latin pop kind of thing.
And you have got that song, it's slot number six, so it's your kind of mid-show lift, isn't it?
Yeah.
To you know...
It was a good way to think, all right, let's get the energy back up. We're about halfway through now. Let's get everyone back.
Let's reinvigorate back. The party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. One thing I did notice as well is I think we all spotted him, his hair's different. And we couldn't work out, we just not noticed before, but actually he had changed it from the semi to the final.
Yeah.
His hair colour changed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we just didn't pay attention enough in the semi.
I'm looking at it again now because we've got it playing just in the background on mute. Has he just let it go grey or has he actually blonded it?
I think he's blonded it.
It depends on the light.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like he's blonded it. I don't think he's purposely tied himself grey.
No. I was just wondering if he'd just let the. If he would had it dyed black.
Oh, I see.
And he just had the colour taken off. Yeah.
Maybe.
We're not style icons.
No.
That shall remain.
But yes, the red serviettes at the end, which we've seen being waved.
Yeah.
Nice little touch, like you said, audience participation there. Bit of a wavy flag. Song number seven, then another hot favourite was Daughter and Bulletproof.
Yeah.
Oh, another one with good hairography.
Yes, lots of hair flicking.
The only thing that I could comment on was that outfit and the way it was used.
Is the outfit overshadowing the song, perhaps? A little bit.
Possibly. I get what she was doing. Like, the song's called Bulletproof, and it's the idea that all this.
These lasers,
these attacks are bouncing off of her. But because it was all centralized into, well, the chest area.
Yeah, she sings about shoot me in the middle where my heart's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Competent song. Not my favorite, I will admit. Well delivered.
Yeah.
They have ramped up the lasers, the light show, for this final. So it has been increased. To get even more glare off the top. So it's an effect that works really well. I did see a quote where it said she's actually blinded by the lights.
I'd say there's probably some poor person in the front row who's probably having a seizure.
We're seeing it now with the extra beams being flung out.
Yeah.
And she means she can't actually see the camera, so she's had to learn off by heart where to look because she can't see the camera lights.
Oh, wow.
So she can't see where the shot is, so she just had to memorise the moves. So kudos for that.
Impressive.
Because that's an extra layer of complexity.
Well done, Dotter.
On it. Stunning stage show, perhaps lifts a song that otherwise would not have done quite
well. Yeah, I think this was one where the staging was done quite well, and in a way that people will remember it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On to song number eight, which is Robin Bengtsson and Take a Chance.
Bit stalkery.
Just a bit.
I'm going to get off the underground at Leicester Square. I'm going to follow you and you're going to go sit in a cafe. I'm going to stare at you. And it's all a bit creepy.
It is a little bit. When you look into it. But I'm sure that was not the intention at all.
No, I'm sure it's not
the intention,
no.
But...
Is it as strong as I Can't Go On?
No, it's not.
Nah.
It's very different, isn't it? That one was kind of like very, I thought it was very strong, very contemporary and modern, and had an amazing staging gimmick with the treadmills.
Yes.
This was very pared back, far simpler, then relied a little bit more on vocals and a performance. Again, as I've said, a few of them, not an unpleasant song.
Yeah.
Catchy enough, but I think it just disappeared, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, compared to
the competition from the others.
Compared to some of the other ones, he just kind of
faded into the background.
Yeah. But again, it's a song that's grown on me over the weeks. Yeah. There's a lot of them have.
I would say that of 12 songs last night, I think all of them are grown on me, bar one.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
So, nice Robin, but no prize this year.
No.
Song number 9 then is Mariette's.
Oh, I liked this
Shout
one.
It Out.
It was a slow start, but I liked this one. You had, once the sort of the beat dropped, you know, I was like, okay, I like this one. I can get on board with this.
I think she's a good performer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the song. I think he's okay.
Right.
And again, it did grow on me from the semis, but I think there were better songs on the night.
Again, this was one who was, like with Brave, this is someone who knows their style of performing and can do it really well. This was another who was like all over the stage, giving all their moves.
Yeah.
True, but they're quite simple. I mean, on the verses, she just literally just paces up and down at the front.
But that is quite that was still quite effective, you know.
Could be. It doesn't feel like it's necessarily heavily choreographed. It is just her just going with it and flinging her arms around.
It's a bit more kind of, I want to say kind of pop rocky. So, you know, it doesn't need like all the dancing and stuff, because that doesn't fit in with the style.
On to song number 10 then. Felix Sandman, Boys with Emotions.
The one we were all universally agreed upon.
We don't really like.
Hated it. Like, we all get the message behind it, good. You know, Boys with Emotions, you know, we don't have to man up, we can be a bit more sensitive, but
the song's awful. I can't sugarcoat it. It's awful.
I don't know, but you've got the hook. You've got the hook. Boys with Emotions. Dun, dun, dun. Boys with Emotions. That's the only bit I can remember. So
that first line of the chorus.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, but it's not too bad.
Other than that, it just felt like some kind of like bootleg kind of Justin Bieber style track.
Yeah, I think we're going to struggle to say positive things.
Yeah,
about
yeah. Sorry, Felix.
Sorry, but
I'm totally surprised at how well it did with the jury in tones.
Oh, yeah.
Really surprised, but there we go.
And then on to song number 11, then, which is Anna Bergendahl, Kingdom Come.
I liked this one a lot.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah, you think you would be? It's the kilts. Really. That's my main thought when I think about Anna Bergendahl song. It's kilts.
It's the kilts.
It's the kilts.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Fairly simple staging, but I liked how they were all dancing around her.
Yeah.
On that square podium.
Yeah.
Catchy tune, nice lyrics. Performed well.
You know my feelings on country pop type stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that country, Gary.
It's got country twangs. Oh, so I struggle
just
about sometimes.
Maybe.
Twangs.
Because you know I'm just I'm fussy.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like that she's still... Yeah. It's almost like she's got this plan in her mind to say, I need to redeem myself for 2010
and
being the only Swedish artist that hasn't qualified for the grand final in Eurovision.
Yeah.
And I feel I need to represent you again and go through to the final and prove that I can do this.
Yeah.
It's almost like she needs to close this chapter.
She needs closure.
Because
she's going to be a doctor. She's training to be a doctor.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is not necessarily a full-time career for her. But now part of it, I think it's going to be memorable for the fact that she's got 6 lads bouncing around her in black kilts.
Yeah.
But sadly, not true Scotsman.
No. I think if it had been true Scotsman, because these guys were like breakdancing and flipping all over the place, if they'd been true Scotsman, the whole thing had been demonetized.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
There'd have been a whole lot of blurring, and she'd have to do a lot of explaining to the Swedish authorities.
Oh, Scandinavians are far more relaxed about those sorts of things than most other people.
They're quite happy to slip some swear words.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which leads us neatly onto song number 12.
The last song of the
Last song of the evening. Anne Esdon, Demina or Demina?
Yeah, this was one where it was like, I think, which song did you say? Where it's not the style of music I'm used to listening to, but I still really liked it.
I hope that wasn't me.
it was like this kind of like hip. It was hip hoppy kind of rap thing. I'm not. It's not my favorite style of music, but I still like really got into it because again, this is one where the staging was done really well. Because he had that big screen at the background that was like,
yes,
doing like the magazine articles,
and he's put in some English.
Yes, that was English text, I think that's hasn't very it? Telling that he's put some English into that
because he's a YouTube star.
Yeah,
in Sweden, so and he's had a lot of success on Spotify when you look at the amount of streams that all these artists have got.
Oh yeah,
so locally very popular. Mm. However, I'm glad that he was aware that he needs to appeal to an international audience, and. Good on him because he's the only Swedish language song in the final, which is a shame that we're not getting more of that. But at least he tried to appeal to the international juries by slotting a bit of English in just to make sure they got the message of what he's trying to say in that.
Yeah.
So I think that did work. It was a fun... It's a fun party song to end the night on.
Yeah,
it was a good one to end the night on.
Not sure if the like gold velour shell suit was doing him any favors though.
Oh, that was one of the changes, wasn't it?
Yeah, he'd gone from purple. He had purple, didn't he before?
Yeah, purple to gold. Maybe because you know it's like I'm in the gold finale. Yes, whatever they call it.
But yeah, he slipped in a couple of swears in his song. When you look at the translations, he had some. He had some S words and some F words in there.
Naughty.
Yeah, very. Wow.
So, those were our 12 acts, and they moved on pretty quickly, actually. We had a song from the hosts.
Yeah.
We then had the international juries.
Yeah.
Well, what's his face first? Didn't we? John Lundvik. Not John Lundvik. We had an older woman.
No, I think that came near the end.
Yes, that came
near the end.
Yes, we'll go on back. That came near the end.
So yeah, they did. Mixed up.
No, they did their. The host did their act. You know, it was like kind of sort of ABBA disco-y kind of thing. Yeah. And the male host had that jacket on.
With oh, yes. Yeah.
We had a bit of business from the green room as well.
Yeah.
Which
I think even people in Sweden are a bit like, this. David, this just isn't funny.
Yeah.
So we often see this sometimes, like with Fab Freddy a couple of years ago. You sometimes get elements of the show that don't quite work.
Mm.
Yeah,
and that was one for me.
So then we moved on to the jury votes.
So we move on to the jury vote. So this year we had Israel, Austria, Armenia, Australia, Malta, Iceland, France, and the Netherlands.
Ah.
No UK jury.
Yeah.
No UK jury.
Yeah, which I'm not sure whether.
Did we have one last year?
Don't quote me on it. Sorry, I should have done my research. But yeah. we quite often, we have appeared a lot of times on the international jury.
Yeah.
So, points are being delivered, and we have a tie at the top.
Yes.
Bulletproof and Move on 65. Your next biggest song after that is Boys With Emotions, which we were quite surprised about, weren't we? I
couldn't believe it, really.
But it was doing... It was doing quite so well. So that was interesting.
It was proper doing the business.
Yeah, it got some high scorers quite early on, though, didn't it?
It did. Boys With Emotions got an 8, 7, 8, 8, 2 as we're going through. And it got 12 from the Dutch jury as well.
Mm.
So behind Boys With Emotions, we had Kingdom Come on 46. So they rattled through this very quickly.
Yeah.
It didn't take long at all.
So it was nice that we had that tie. So already we were like, ooh.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because we've got two songs that it could go either way. So it wasn't, you know, already decided. If it had been.
Because usually, like, one of the other, like, jury or public votes will usually be the ones that make the difference. But here we had, like,
a very close
tie.
Yeah, you know what? The 12s were scattered, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking at it now. So Israel gave 12 to Kingdom Come. Austria gave their 12 to Visa Moss. And Armenia went to Move. Australia, Bulletproof. Malta, Move again. Iceland, Bulletproof. France, Shout It Out. Mariette, random. That was very random. Then the Netherlands, boys with emotions, as we said. So the international juries were not voting in the same ways, really.
No.
Yeah. It was a very eclectic mix of, like, favourites.
Then, obviously, we go, as we mentioned earlier, we then go back to having a bit of business to do with the reprise of last year's song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Song by
John Lundvik.
The
original was John Lundvik. Well, it was his song, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
But it was some other singer came on and did a Swedish language version.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a bit more kind of soft and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
A bit softer.
And then it was pretty much let's get on. Oh, but before that. We had the big reveal of the night. Just as the telephone lines closed, David takes off his moustache.
Yes. He had this big moustache on, like, however long it was.
For the whole 6 weeks.
Yeah. And then he just peels it off.
And I think even, it may even have been when, I'm just looking it up now, quickly doing a quick Google. Even when the hosts were announced, I'm just checking now, I want to do a quick image search.
Do you still have the moustache then?
Yeah, even when the hosts were announced back at the end of last year, he had the moustache. So he's had the... Everything we've seen up until now has been him with a moustache. And then suddenly, at the end of the vote, he's like... And he just literally rips it off and he's like, it was fake the whole time?
I can't believe that he had a fake moustache for like a whole year. Like, I refuse to believe he had a fake moustache for a whole year.
Well, they were announced to what? December last year they were announced?
Let me have a look. It was even earlier than that. September.
September.
And in all
for a good 6 months.
In all the promo pics from then, that time at the press launch, he's got a moustache.
Yeah, but surely it was like...
Well, I'm looking at it now, and that to me looks like a proper moustache he's got.
I about to say, like, there's no way he was rocking a fake moustache for, like, a whole year.
No.
Not on your life.
No. I mean, he could have just been putting the fake moustache on for any promo pics and things like that, and any get-togethers and stuff.
I'm thinking now, because I'm seeing lots of pictures with him with a moustache, and I'm thinking, was this just him playing the long game with the gag? He basically shaved off his moustache just before semi-1, wore a fake for the entire 6 weeks, just so he could get that last gag. When as soon as the phone lines close, you go, thank goodness for that. I can take this off now.
If it was, that's
he's played a blind of it. Yeah. That's how he's planned it. Kudos to him for that. So after we've had that, yes, we get the rendition of Is It Too Late for Love, sung by an older lady, who I believe is a famous presenter in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're on to the televote. And it's done Eurovision style, isn't it?
Yes.
Where we are... taking the order of the jury score, starting with the lowest scoring act and delivering their televote.
Yeah.
Which means we then it's made very clear then how the televote differs to the jury votes.
Yeah.
Throughout that. So I think it's a really good, exciting way of doing it.
Definitely. Yeah.
And televote wise, well, our lowest scoring televote act was Mohombi, 6 points. Low Mariette, 9 points. Then moving up, Felix Sandman, 14. That was a big shock, wasn't
it? That was a shock, because we thought that the youth vote in Sweden might have pushed him further, especially when he did so well with the jury voting.
Yeah.
I thought that the young televote might have pushed him even further, but they didn't.
No. No, maybe it's just that just the broader demographics of Melfest, because it captures like a 70% of the audience in Sweden when it's on. It's huge.
Yeah.
Because of the broader demographics of the show, it flattens that out. Is my
thing. Yeah.
Totally unsupported. moving up, we then have Mendez. Mendez, 21 points. Robin Bengtsson, 28. Paul Ray, 33. Victor Kroner, 38. Anis, who we almost thought he might win.
Yeah.
After that last performance and how the audience were reacting, I thought, ooh, he might have it here.
Yeah, he came very close.
We did think that, but as soon as the jury votes came in, we were like, oh, okay, well, he's only kind of middle of the pack. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth with after the juries. But we're like, but a huge televote could propel him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the danger we were fearing.
Yeah.
At that point. Then Anna Bergendahl, 61 points. Hannah Firm, 69 points. And then the chose, and this was really nail biting.
Yeah.
They chose to deliver Mama's points, and they got 72. So, obviously, because of the neck and neck between the Mamas and Daughter, we then quick simple maths. It was a case of she needs 73 or more, and Daughter has got this in the bag.
Yeah.
And it was nail biting.
Yeah, because what did Daughter get in the end?
She got 71.
1 point. 1 point.
Well, I suppose she needed 2 points to win it.
But that was how close it was.
Yeah.
It was so close.
And I believe there probably would have been a count back type system. So if there had been a tie they may have gone, well, who's got the most 12s, who's got the most 10s, and then we'll decide it that way. That's the same as it happened at Eurovision.
Yeah.
On that. So the only criticism I have is of the announcement. Because up until that point, we'd got split screen, hadn't we?
We got
the performers, we got the announcer, we got the board. So you could see the points racking up.
Yeah.
And then they brought it down to a split screen between the Mamas and Daughter, who's going to win. And they just announced the points and didn't show the board.
Nah.
And because my Swedish is not fantastic, and she said it very quickly, I didn't actually know how many points Daughter had got and how much she'd lost by. The only reason we could tell who won is because we saw the Mamas leap up and go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, I think one of the Mamas, because she's not Swedish, she's American, she kind of went,
Did we win?
If I had to criticise anything, it would be, SVT, please flash up the board.
Yeah.
If you did, I missed it.
No, they didn't.
Nope.
No.
Just so for the non-English speakers that were watching, just to confirm how much the Mamas had won by. It was an amazing moment to see the Mamas go up on stage and John Lundvik present that trophy.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Just like so emotional. He was just there, just bawling his eyes out because he was so happy that they, who had been his backup singers last year when he had gone to Eurovision, now got their own chance to represent Sweden.
He gave them that launch pad. They've been incredibly. They've done like a tour and stuff, and lots of performances in Sweden since last year. So they were starting to build their fan base over there. So it was lovely. It was lovely to see that. Overall, are we happy with how this year went?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a good song.
I think it was a very deserving win.
Well, stage. I'm going to add a proviso. I don't think they'll win Eurovision.
Ooh, you think?
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know.
Okay.
Maybe the curse of Gary has transferred now to become the curse of Mark.
We will see.
Could be.
Because Gary's like, oh, I never can pick the winner. My favourite never wins. And then this year, lo and behold, his favourite wins.
I suppose we'll find out.
In May?
Well, you know what? I think they're going to be up there.
I
think they'll certainly score high.
They'll be in the running. Iceland is looking very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It could be on their heels.
After last year, I would be.
See, Iceland, perfect televote fodder.
Yeah.
Not so much jury.
True.
That's where it will struggle, I think. But then you could say the same about the Mamas. Same as John Lundvik last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was perfect jury fodder.
Not great televote.
Uh-huh. And the two kind of cancelled each other out.
Yeah. But then again, the Mamas had a really good public and jury vote. You know, they got quite a number of titles.
Oh, yeah. Sweden.
So,
Belfast.
Yeah. So who knows? They might have the same.
Could be. Whether or not that translates when you've got 40-odd countries.
We will see.
We will find out. Anyway, that is the end of Mellopod for 2020.
Shoogie.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. But we hope you've enjoyed it. And Should we do this again next year?
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do stick around, because there will be other pods coming throughout the year. We're going to be podding Eurovision itself.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And the semis come along, and the finale as well.
Yeah.
And there'll be other little pod bits and pieces and other pods being interspersed.
Of course.
But until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.